Welcome to The Grow Show. Grow yourself, grow your business, grow your community. Here's your host, Gary Jones.
Hey folks, and how are you doing today? Now, welcome to this episode of The Grow Show, where I'm going to be talking to a returning guest. Now, this guy's been on a couple of our shows in the past, talking about different topics, never quite know what he's going to say, which means that this interview, it could go fantastically, or it might not be. Now, as you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, I've got two of my furry boys just behind me. So let's see if in the next half hour, these guys can behave themselves and my guest can also behave himself as well. My money is on these boys outperforming my guests. But let's see what happens. Right, so there you go. So we've got Stephen Jones, who is obviously the business disruptor. He says it down there. Now, we talk on previous episodes about sales techniques, about Stephen's journey. So we're going to be talking about something different today. And it's based on, I was going to ask Stephen the question, what are you talking to your clients and customers about? But he gave me an example of something that we just need to touch upon today. We need to talk about, because this, when you read out what you're going to say, what you said about, I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it. But before we get into the main topic, just tell us a little bit about you. Who are you? What you do? And why people should listen to this episode?
Well, despite the rumours on Facebook, we're not related.
No. Nope,
although if I turn upside down, we're getting a bit closer in the way we look.
I still think my beard's got not a patch on your hair anyway.
It's going long at the moment as well. Okay, I am the business disruptor. I shake things up. I tend to go into companies and look at things. Had a conversation on Monday with someone very unemotionally. Not here to be a friend. I'm not here to hold your hand. I'm not here to make you feel good about yourself. I'm here literally to look at the business and say, that's crap. That's good. This is wrong. That needs fixing. Why are you doing that and not this? And that's my role. So almost like a mentor, like a business coach, like a guru with quite a few years experience. I go in and I fix businesses. That's my job. I had a lot of stuff planned to talk to you about. I hope we're going to have about another 5-hour session. And I was going to talk to you about pricing because I'm doing a lot of work on that at the moment with people, how your business isn't really a business if it's not capable of making money. It's not even a hobby, really. And we need to get serious about, are we having a business? Are we doing that? Or are we just going to go and get a job? However, I get sold to. I get pitched in various different companies trying to sell services and products. And I received an email this morning, which, frankly, is straight out of the 80s. And I thought it's worth sharing with people to show the very antithesis of what I teach when I teach sales training and exactly how not to do it and why not to do it, all wrapped into one neat little bundle.
Yep. And And we'll go into that email in just a second, but I just want to reiterate when he says about not giving it kind of straight as it is, sometimes you need that. Sometimes you don't want it, but you need that. And you need that kind of light bulb moment. So I can remember in previous episodes, we have spoke about pricing. That's one thing we spoke about last time, which was really topical. And to be fair, you can release a podcast about pricing every single month. It's so important.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about pricing. We're here to talk about that email. So do you reckon it's now a good time to read the email and put people out of their miseries?
I'll change the names to protect the guilty. And I'll try not to use the company name because I haven't spoken to the director yet to try and sell them some sales training. But it was sent to the three of us. I'll read it out first and I'll go through and comment. So as you know, we had our meeting earlier in the month and I put forward a proposal to help you and have since then tried to engage with you to see if we're moving ahead at this stage. Like, time out. I'll do that first sentence first. We had a meeting last week. It was supposed to be to show us how to use their system that we're paying for, and it turned into a one-hour sales presentation to sell us extra services that would mean we could be getting some money out of their product or making money out of their product. And we were given an offer, not time constrained or anything like that, just an offer to get a few freebies and some other bits and pieces to make a decision. I said, thank you very much. We'll have a think about it over the weekend. We've had a phone call every day since. I initially said, stop no need to call, send an email. An email was sent to which I replied, thank you very much for your email. We will be considering during the week. I'll revert back to you at the end of the week. I'm a salesman. I've worked in sales. I'm not going to dick somebody about it. If I hadn't been interested, I'd have said, sorry, not interested. I was interested. We were going to get back to them today. Line two, as you will know, I have sent emails and phoned the branch and left messages to call me back to know if we're moving ahead, but have heard nothing from you. First of all, don't be that pushy in sales. We'll get into that in a minute. Secondly, if you phone the branch, left a message, send an email, get a reply to that email, that isn't not getting back to you. So straight away, you're lying to me about what I've done in response to your email. It's not very good because now you're accusing me of lying. Not good so far for the first two lines. Line three, with this in mind, I think, and here's the thing, guys, and I know some people don't care, but if you're going to use a small I for I am, don't bother emailing me. Please don't bother, because everything in here is I, small I. With this in mind, I think upon reflection, it would make sense to draw a line in the sand and withdraw the original offer I made together with the free products. I am sorry for this. I'm not. You made an offer. If you want to pull it, pull it. It's not my problem. It's your problem. My reason for this is that I don't see an appetite from you that you really want to genuinely win the business or compete with other, I'm not going to say what, purely from our business perspective. Well, honestly, I'm in two minds. I signed up for a training session on how to use your system, which we're paying for, and you spent an hour selling me some other parts of your system that are going to cost a reasonable amount of money in order to get money out of the system I'm already paying for. So I am in two minds about it. I can see why it works and I understand the advantages of doing it, but I'm a little bit miffed that I've got to pay more money, basically be blackmailed into spending more money in order to get results from your piece of, it's software, it's a software thing, I'll say that. So that's that one. Next line. My job as an account manager is to support and engage with the agents who value the product and who want to get the best possible return from it, and not to continually chase, almost nag people to respond or move forward with a proposal that they are not on board with. It's simply not the way I like to work. Well, let's tackle that last bit first. It is the way you like to work because that's exactly what you did. You called every day and sent emails. I responded, told you to give me till the end of the week. You continued to call me every day. That's not my fault as a prospective client. You need to engage with me on my terms as a prospective client to make sure that I'm engaging with you. And just to correct you as well on that, Nate Boy, my job as an account manager is to support and engage with the agents who value the product. No, it's not. Your job as an account manager is to sell the product. End of discussion. How you sell that will depend on your sales ability, but that is your job, is to sell the product. That's why you're hired. That's why you get paid. Good luck in the future, and I hope to hear from you moving forward. That's the initial email. I feel a bit like that comedian whose name I can't remember now. Joe Lycett. You know where he does his tweets backwards and forwards? Yep. Well, I responded to that email.
Yep. It's crazy.
Do you want to hear my response?
Oh, go for it. Go for it.
All right, I'll read it quickly, and I won't go line by line. Dear James, please close the file. As a lifelong salesperson, your tone is frankly beyond rude. You wanted me to present something. You gave us a long speech and then called daily. I do not waste the time of salespeople, being one myself, so I told you specifically that I would revert back to you by the end of the week. You have persisted to call daily. I've been busy, and and having told you I'd revert back to you, would have done. Pushy sales tactics tend to turn me off very quickly, and calling every day when I've said I'll revert back is pushy, rude, and shows an ignorance of basic sales techniques. Frankly, had I a salesperson working for me who tells a prospective client that my job as an account manager is to support and engage with the agents, yada, 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 they would be fired on the spot. This is not how you build long-term relationships. Both X and myself have been incredibly ill this week. Both of us being advised to go to hospital. We prioritized our clients, not this. I had promised to revert back today, but as that isn't good enough for you, we will simply close the file from our side and ask that you do the same. That's it. Now, personally, as a salesperson, possibly would have left it there and walked away, gone, Maybe I cocked that up a bit. Maybe I was a bit arrogant. Maybe I was a bit rude. No. I do apologise if you feel my tone was rude. This was never the intention. I am sorry both yourself and ex were feeling unwell. I will leave things with you as per my email, not push this matter further. Well, I couldn't leave that, could I? I mean, you can't, can you? You can't leave him saying, I'll not push this further.
It does feel like he needs a response, to be fair, yeah.
Yeah. Frankly, I fail to see how you think your tone was anything but rude. You did not present a time-limited offer and were not asked to call daily. You were instructed to send me an email. I replied to the same, stating I'd revert back by the end of the week. You continued to call in daily. In your email, you then basically accused us of making you chase us, not being interested in your offer like others are, and wasting your time. In all honesty, while selling a service to make sure something I already pay for actually brings in business, not really that interested anymore. Just be clear, you were never asked to push the matter in the first instance, and I have asked you to close the file. And I think that's it from that perspective. However, I have sent an email to the, well, I've sent a message to the head of sales for that particular company, basically asking if they'd be interested in any sales training. And when he comes back to me and says, no, we're fine, might just send him that stream of email messages.
Good plan. First of all, wow. Just wow. I can't believe actually someone kind of went down that route. And I think if he, yeah, as someone who is busy and would do say to people, and I'd agree a time frame of when to get back to them. And then if they haven't done that beforehand, if it's after that time, fair game. I'm happy with that. Before that time, I get it. So I made a few notes. And the first one was, I suppose this is stuff that he should have done, but agree time schedules and keep to them. It sounds simply stupid.
One of the things I spent a lot of time on, going back to your original, what was going to be the original question of how, you know, what are you doing with clients at the moment? What's one of the big things? One of the major things I'm doing with tradies, builders, painters, decorators, because we're going through a lot of work at the house and we're having problems, and I'm using that as a live example of how not to do it. Set expectations in whatever line of business you're in. You set expectations. What does that mean? It means, so I did it with the tradespeople who do landscape gardening, and I said, look, you know that it's going to take you 10, 12 weeks to go in and do the project. You've told the client on the front end it's going to take 10 to 12 weeks to do the project. However, after week two of having no garden, looking out onto building sites, seeing crap everywhere, building tools and materials and all the rest of it, they're starting to get a bit sick of it. And then they start to get a bit narky about stuff that happens, and then everything sort of builds up from there. And they're going, well, yeah, that happens every time. Setting expectations at the beginning, and why not do a Gantt chart that says, we'll be in on day one, doesn't matter when day one is, by the end of week one we'll have done this, by the end of week two we'll have done that, by the end of week three, and do that all the way through as part of your proposal to the client, what you give the client at the beginning. They can stick it on the fridge with your fridge magnet, because that's marketing as well. And then when they go downstairs in the morning, they're making their coffee, they're looking at the crappy garden and the puddles of water and the lumps of concrete and the bags and all the rest of it. They're looking at the fridge and they're going, oh yeah, look, that's week three. They said that it looked like that week three. We're on track. You've just taken a problem and made it a positive.
Mm.
You know, and it's not rocket science. It's what it takes, though, is it takes the ability to take half a day out of your business to work on the business. Mm. Right? And things like this with this guy, that's bad management and it's bad training. He's obviously not the world's best salesman. He thought he had a done deal. He didn't set our expectations. He didn't tell us when he'd be calling back. He didn't say, look, I'll chase you every day to make sure. Because I'd have said to him, don't chase me every day. I'll come back to you. Because I know the person that I work with is very busy. We've got a busy month. We've got the office stuff going on. We're trying to get the office redone. We're both sick. Again, both should have been in hospital over the last week for various different things. Didn't go. Too busy working. I don't need to be told by some second-rate salesman that I'm not letting him be pushy enough.
Well, this goes back. That really goes well to my second one that I wrote down. This for me is just common sense. But if it isn't this common, please let me know. Don't be pushy. Lie or insult your prospects or clients.
There are some things that you shouldn't have to teach, and I look at this from a lot of different perspectives nowadays. In my youth, I used to be very gung ho and what a wanker, blah, 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 blah. Now I look and I go, well, hang on a second. Okay, maybe he's got a touch of narcissism. Maybe he's been the best salesperson in the company for, you know, X number of years or whatever. And now he's struggling and he's sort of making mistakes, which we do when we start to struggle. We make bad decisions and they get worse. Maybe he's just got divorced. You know, maybe all sorts of things could have happened that have turned that. And I try and be more PC about this than I used to be in the old days. But some things you shouldn't have to teach. Right. You're right. If you can't separate business and sending a business email from my personal life's going down the crapper, my business life's going down the crapper, but I still have to engage with clients and customers nicely, then maybe you shouldn't be in that line of business, you know?
Right. The thing that got me was it wasn't just obviously when you were reading it back, there was a number of different lines which kind of made me write those, but it was just the general tone of it all. It didn't need to be sent.
No, not at all. He could have sent, and I'll give you the my version of that, except I wouldn't have been chasing work. So let's say I speak to somebody today. And they say, look, Stephen, my business is a bit of a mess at the moment. I'll admit it, you know, and I had a guy actually last week say these exact words. I've been doing this for 20 years, but you've just made me realize today I've been playing at it. And it's time to get serious if I want to make this what it needs to be for me to be able to retire when I want to retire. That's my main goal. So what's your exit strategy? How are we going to get you there? So I said, okay, not a problem. I'm happy to have an initial 1-hour power call with you. I do that with everybody. It's a £99 deal. Get your money back if you don't feel you got anything out of it. And that proves to you that I know something about what I'm talking about. We fix a problem that's a major problem, and then we go forward with a proposal to go and do a 3, 6, 12 month sort of working together. I've got a 12-week program now that hopefully will start working quite well. But the emphasis is on you're going to have to go and do that work yourself. It's not up to me to come into your company and fix it for you. I'm going to show you how to do things. We're going to come up with some ideas together, or for you and your specific business, we'll move forward. But at the end of that conversation, I'm going to say to you, as I said to him, look, Gary, I've given you pretty much all I can do. If you want to book in for that power hour, you know, it's there. There's the link. Go do it. However, I'll come back to you probably in about a week, 5 days. Today's Friday. I'll come back to you next Thursday, Friday, and just have a follow-up call to see if you're interested or not. Now, if next Thursday, Friday, when I call you back, you're not available, that's fine. I'll send an email and I'll say, Gary, told you I'd give you a buzz back Thursday, Friday. I understand you're busy. It's not a problem. If you want to move forward with this, give me a shout, let me know. If you want me to close the file because it's not right for you right now, please do that as well. And that way I can move on to someone else. I'm not insulting you. I'm not accusing you of being, well, I am, but it doesn't come across as that. I'm not saying you're being a dick and you're avoiding me, although I am, but I'm not saying that. There's a way to say it without saying it. Mm-hmm. There's a way to nudge people without pissing them off. And there's a way to piss people off. And that's the difference for me. You know? Yeah.
My third point that I was going to say was, and I want to put this with a small caveat that a small dose of this isn't a bad thing, but it can't be to this extent. And that is, if you're holding a training session, don't make it into a sales presentation. Again, I think that actually goes straight into point number one, which. Right. Was it green time scales, but green objectives and green kind of outcomes?
Again, there's ways to do it. So we use this piece of software. I don't think it's been used effectively, and there should be a way of linking it to our website. So I was told by the girls that were booking it downstairs, because it's their software, that that's what we were going to have. Now, if he'd come on the phone and said, look, I understand you've got this problem, this problem, this problem. I'm not going to be able to fix that with you today, but you can go direct and fix it with this guy on this number. What I wanted to do today was show you how you can make more money out of our software. Have you got half an hour, 45 minutes for me to do that? I'd have gone, actually, genuinely this week, no, I don't, because I am quite busy this week. If we can reschedule that call for next week, I'd be happy to do that. Mm-hmm. Right. But I was still up until, actually, as I was sat there, have I got it here? No, it's on my other notepad at home. I actually wrote down, no, it's not at home. If I've got it here. My notes are very difficult, but I put the pound signs down because I had two people sitting next to me, and I put a sales call. And that was about 10 minutes in because he wasn't answering the questions that I was asking, and I knew he was taking me through a sales pitch. to lead me to buy a product at the end. Mm-hmm. Be honest. If you want to pitch me something, give me a call and say, look, I need 20 minutes of your time. I want to run you through a system that you're not using as part of our software or part of our system. It's going to make you more money. Can you give me 20 minutes to run through it and show you how it works and then tell you what it's going to cost you to use? Absolutely. But don't dress it up as something that it isn't. Because that puts me right away. I'm now, I didn't have time for this today. I thought you were going to give me something beneficial. I don't mind giving up some time for something beneficial. I don't mind giving up time for something that's going to help me if I buy it. But don't sell me one as the other.
Yeah.
You know, set the expectations again at the beginning of the call, you know, or before the call. So yeah. from the get-go, this was not a good approach, which tells me one of the reasons why the company's not doing very well and why they're so desperate to give me 50% off everything that they were offering me. Because it's frankly not that good. Well, it is that good, but it's not being sold that well.
No. And also, if it's not being sold that well, they're using discounting potentially as a crux to be able to
keep up front. I'll give you 50% off.
Which is...
It's only worth half of what you're selling it for.
Yes. I mean, but then actually that just means that the price of it is actually the 50% off price. So actually it's crazy.
You know what I mean? I can't be dealing with discounts because we've only got 10 minutes left on what we talked about. Half an hour conversation. I need about 4 hours to talk about why we don't discount. You know, and that leads into pricing. Well, pricing leads into why we don't discount. So if you know that it costs you, I don't know, let's say £120 an hour to cover your basic, we're going to pricing too much, but your basic, you know, the break-even point plus salary, and profit. If that comes to £120 an hour, you now know you can't discount from £120 an hour because you know that that's what you need to make the business successful. And you're not going to discount it because some jerkwad says, oh, well, you know, Joe Blow down the pub who doesn't have your qualifications will do it for half price. I'm going to use him then. And then you know what? When it's all gone wrong, you can come back and use me to fix it. And that'll be £240 an hour because I've got to deal with somebody else's rubbish that needs fixing first.
Yeah.
I get passionate about this, don't I?
Do you know what? That's good. As I said right at the start, you do remove the kind of emotion out of it. And it is about making sure that we're giving people the best advice. And the last kind of point I had was, where's the value? Just that line, where's the value? And in my mind, and I wrote that down as you were finishing the call, as you were finishing reading the email, because where was the value in that conversation? Where was the value in the training presentation, the training / selling presentation? And also, where's the value of them trying to do all of that at a discounted price and also not explaining to you how to get the most out of it? Because I'm sure if you got that piece of software for absolutely flying and making working.
Well, he did that in the presentation. He showed us why it's valuable, and he showed us why it would potentially make us money. You still got to sell at the end of the day, whatever you get in terms of leads coming in or whatever. But what they didn't do very effectively is say what problem of ours they're solving, because it might be that we're getting that solved through other areas. That was never asked. Now, my first question to you, if I'm coming in to help you fix your business, I'm going to say, Gary, look, I appreciate the chat and I don't want to waste your time. I'm sure you don't waste mine. What have you done so far to fix this problem in your business of not enough sales or my pricing is wrong, I don't seem to make it, whatever the problem is. What have you done so far to fix that? And I'm going to shut up, which is unusual for me. I'm going to shut up and I'm going to wait for you to answer. Mm-hmm. And you'll probably come up with what the things I normally hear are. I went on a 12-day mastermind, I went on a 5-day mastermind, I bought a book and I bought, you know, whatever, I watched Kitchen Nightmares, whatever the thing is that you do, my earphones are dying, whatever it is that you've done already, you're going to come up with that. And I'm going to say, well, how much does that cost you? Time, money, I'm going to quantify it. So you have a problem, you've tried to fix it, you've spent some money trying to fix it. That's good. How much have you spent trying to fix it? Because it's going to cost you with me, let's say, ballpark figure on one of the programs, £400 a month-ish by the time we're done for 6-12 months. So do that quickly on the calculator, 400 times, over the year, that's nearly £5,000. If you've only spent £2.50 on a book in Smiths, are you really ready to invest £4,000, £5,000 to fix the problem? And if you think you might be, well, let's quantify what that problem's costing you. Because I'm not interested in selling you my solution. I'm interested in making your problem go away and making you more money than it costs to bring me in to do so. That's my goal. So I need to know what it's costing you as a problem. Otherwise, how can I move on? And that's what they fail to do in this sales presentation. Mm-hmm. You know, do you need more of what we're offering? How do you go about getting yours at the moment? How much do you spend on that? Do you spend on Facebook ads? Do you spend on Google ads? What other digital sources are you using? Oh, none. Well, it's going to cost you about this with us. Is that something you'd say no to straight away? Because I'd rather find out 5 minutes in that you're not going to spend the money and then not spend all week chasing you, wind myself up in some shitty emails that make me look bad when my boss's boss's boss gets hold of it and then comes down the line firing everybody on the way.
This is it.
That's what's going to happen next.
That's again, just something that you've just mentioned that I never figured out. The amount of time they spent chasing you up. Yeah. It's that time factor that actually... If
two calls a day, every day.
Oh,
two calls a day, every day.
We could pick this apart for a lot, lot longer. But I think we're going to kind of rein it in then.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to rein it in really kind of succinctly by asking you, if someone gets an email like that, and what should they do? But what is your main takeaway from this whole kind of show? What's your key point that you want people to walk away with? Right. If you listen back, there's loads, but what's your one key thing?
I think the one key is I spend a lot of time telling people that it's not about selling. You don't have to be the world-class salesperson. You don't have to be the slick closer. In fact, quite the opposite. By having a conversation with your prospects, by finding out what they need, what they want, and what their timeframes are, you'll know if your solution can help them or not. If it can, then it's your duty as a salesperson to use whatever you can in your arsenal to help them see that that's going to be beneficial for them. That's the good way of doing it. So I urge everybody out there to go watch films like Boiler Room, Glengarry Glen Ross, the Wolf of Wall Street. There's loads of movies out there. Watch them all on sales. Anything to do with selling, go watch them and go watch The Bad Way of Doing It. But then remember, there's a psychology behind what they're doing with people. There's a psychology behind the way they do it because it's playing on human emotions. And I likened it, and I was going to go down this route, but decided not to Star Wars, where you've got the light side and the dark side. They both use the same energy. They're both using the same midichlorians or whatever it is and lightsabers and things. They're just different colors. One's using it for good, one's using it for evil. If you're using stuff for good because you've got a genuine company, you've got a genuine product, a genuine service, don't worry about using some of the tricks and techniques to get the sales done. But don't worry about being the consummate salesperson, because the companies that are at the top, which these guys are, that do employ salespeople, have shit like this coming out of their system. So you can't be that bad. That's probably my biggest takeaway.
Absolutely beautiful way. And I even love the fact you put a Star Wars reference inside it.
I was going to go with that, but a really good friend of mine started going down the Star Wars route on his blogs and everything, and I couldn't follow in his footsteps. It made it look like I was following his footsteps, and I couldn't do it. So
brilliant.
Saying Star Wars is going to have to wait a few years.
Oh, no, that's fine. Wait, still going to be there. It's still going to be flying. For anybody who wants to find any more info about you, how can they? Are you on socials? Are you website? How can they find you?
www.com, that finds me. If you go to Facebook, put in Stephen Jones Business Disruptor, it'll probably find me. You could probably put a lot of ruder stuff in there, it'll probably still find me. Having a name Stephen Jones doesn't help when people search for you online. That was great when you were young and dating, although we didn't have Google back then. Not so good now when you're in a business. I'm on LinkedIn. Stop selling, start growing. That's my whole mantra behind business owners who don't want to be sleazy, nasty salespeople like the one that sent me that email, but want to actually grow a business. Want to understand why stuff like that seems to work for some people, but not others. Because stuff like that can work with some people, but not by email. It has to be over the phone. Reach me on Facebook, reach me there. This year, episode coming, especially on a Friday, I'm often over in Coffee One doing mentoring for Help to Grow. I do a lot of mentoring for Help to Grow, Virgin Startup, and Business Wales. So if anybody's in any of those three, they can contact me through their account manager on those and get in contact with me that way. And it's free. It doesn't cost them anything.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
So well, I don't work for people for free the rest of the time.
So check him out at the www.thebusinessdisruptor.com. Just for the people who are listening rather than watching. And also, when he says about previously about his power hours, take him off. But 99 quid for an hour with Stephen, he's mental.
I have a testimonial on my site of a guy who came on to do a power hour because he had to go and sell. He does IT stuff. And he had to go and sell IT services to a fairly large company for him. I think they had like 12 employees in a solicitor's office or something. And so we did the power hour on how to present yourself during sales meeting, how not to sell during it, but to ask the right questions to ascertain if you can fit their needs. Did all that, called me just before the meeting, 15-minute quick run through, bang, 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 everything's good. Came out, he won the business, which was about £68,000, I think, for the annual contract. Really happy. Called me 3 weeks later, said they're so happy with what I'm doing that they were asking me about a building they're expanding into. So I used the same techniques then to ask them questions about it, what the size would be and all the rest of it, that I've just won that contract for another $79,000 to set it up, not to manage it. And then the contract to manage it afterwards will be basically these two combined because we're going forward in the larger offices. Off the back of a £99, that's probably my best ROI to date. Nice shout about that one.
Damn straight you should. Damn straight you should. Stephen, thank you very much for your time today. I hope you feel better soon. You're still on fire. And yeah, you behaved yourself better than a dog. So thank you for that as well. I'm going to let you go and I'm just going to say goodbye to the viewers. Thank you very much, everyone, for watching today. That was Stephen Jones. Please check him out on his socials and his website. Book a power hour, have a chat with him. And yeah, all get involved. Please don't be that person who sent that email. If you do anything from my point of view, just don't be that person. Thank you very much for watching. Take care, everyone. And I'll see you all soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.